Hello, everyone, and welcome to the History and Legacy of Sports, the podcast, where we discuss the teams and players that made an influence on all of us fans in sports. I'm Bill.
I'm DK.
I'm the Hawk.
Yes, he is. And if you're not watching on YouTube, the Hawk is wearing a football helmet today. Probably now I have to get one of my own that'll fit my
next time we need to maybe talk about the wardrobe before the show starts. We can all be prepared. Like, I got a hockey helmet here somewhere. I could have just threw it on.
I got a hockey helmet too.
I know you do. That's a different story for a different day.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we had a while back on which athlete we would talk about in this episode, and all three of them were good choices. We'll talk about the other two choices a little later, but today we will be covering the career of the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, there's no doubt about like who the GOAT of hockey is. Mm-hmm. People that like to throw other names in there, in my opinion, like you can just say his number and you know who you're talking about.
Yep.
You just say 99 and even non-hockey fans know who Wayne Gretzky is. He's just kind of got that allure about him.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to talking about his, not only his NHL career, but like how he got there and going from prodigy to the great one and all the records that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we rank him in Canada. We rank 1-2 between him and Gordie Howe.
That's pretty much how I figured it was, like those.
I don't put Gordie Howe in the top five, my opinion. Mario Lemieux is number 2 for sure. Mm. And Bobby Orr would be number 3. Oh. Yeah, maybe Howe's 4. Mario Lemieux, if you look at his numbers by game speed, he's right there with Wayne Gretzky. He just he had the cancer and the back issues, right, and other things. Yeah, but that
did
he dealt
play till he was 252 years old? No.
Well, if we're talking longevity, sure, I'll give you Gordie Howe all day long.
And that's why I think to me he's number 2 is to the fact that he played forever. Still up back in the day, didn't wear a helmet. You know, the elbows would come out flying. He was a superstar, like a protect himself. Didn't need anybody to protect him, right? He stood up for himself. That's when hockey was hockey back then, where nobody's wearing helmets. If I had to stick too high, he would get knocked out, lose some teeth. I mean, yeah, it's a different generation now.
Oh, definitely.
Gretzky is number 1 in my books, but I'd put how to Lemieux 3. And then you start looking at Bobby Orr, Sidney Crosby, some of these guys, maybe Connor McDavid's in that conversation one day. We can never get to a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. We'll see when we talk about
like numbers are important. The chances are also.
Yeah.
I think that's a show where we have to have him and Mike Trout in the same conversation. As two.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Two of the best players right now who may never even get to a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With the way it's going.
Yeah.
So. Poor Angels.
I do kind of respect Mike Trout sticking with the team.
Oh, absolutely.
Like other guys would maybe want out.
Well,
want to chase the title. Yeah, I think he's okay with just being where he is and trying to build the team and see what happens.
Compared to a guy who just recently left a Canadian hockey city, Trout is from Philadelphia. Has season tickets for the Eagles, and signed a $440 million extension with the Angels. So, you know, to me, that tells me that loyalty with him is number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You
know, now, if he gets traded, that's on the club, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Somewhere, you know, I mean, wouldn't you love to see Soto and Trout get traded in the same year?
That's a good segue. I'm glad you said that, Soto. Turned down was it 14 years, 440?
Yeah, it was a
and
pretty
the
big
report one. Is the Nationals are asking for like four high-end prospects, three roster players, and probably money.
And to take on, and you have to take Patrick Corbin on.
Well, I mean, from a couple of the reports that I've read, they're basically compare. I told Hawk about this the other day. They're basically, if this trade was to happen, would be the comparison to the Herschel Walker trade with the Cowboys. That basically, yep, that's like the implication of that trade is, you know, you got to give us all this stuff. And yep. I know I've heard about two or three teams that are in the mix, like high at the top of the list. I've heard Yankees, obviously, and Dodgers. The Padres. Those are the two that I've heard. I know Hawk, like he sent me a message last night, like we could do something with what if the Blue Jays, you know, did something. So what I have actually is I have up on my screen, and I'll start with the Yankees because that's kind of like, I think the first place we'll go with for this one. Their top 30 prospects. So obviously they're not going to want to take the number 30 prospect who is in A plus right now.
No.
So I'll just look at their top 10 and what I think they would need out of this. So, and this is on MLB.com if anyone wants to look this up. Looking at this, the Yankees currently have three shortstops in their top 10 or in this top 10 list here on MLB.com. And they also have four pitchers on this list. So I think what I would do, I think, and I'm going to act like Mike Rizzo here, the GM of the Nationals. I would take Oswald Pereza, who's currently in AAA, and he's like their number two prospect. I would also take their outfielder, Everson Pereira, who's in AA. He's a little bit more ahead than the other outfielder on this list, Jason Dominguez. And I don't think Dominguez is quite, he's probably got another year or two there. Then I would go for pitching. And they've got four pitchers on their top 10 here. I would go with Ken Waldichuk, who's currently in AAA. He's a lefty. And I would go with a righty. And I think I would go with, looking at this, I think I'd go with Hayden Wesneski. So those would be the four that I would take because they already got a catcher in Kiva Ruiz who they got from the Dodgers last year. And he's turned out to be pretty good so far for them. So that's who I would take of the, you know, from that list.
What about roster players?
Oh gosh. Who would they? Like, okay. Now Gallo? I joked with somebody the other day, this will never happen, but I joked with, I joked with him the other day. How about you trade Aaron Judge for Juan Soto? Because Judge is like on the end of his contract.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't you trade us Judge for like the rest of the year? You know,
this was a throw-in.
Right.
<Yeah. laughs> You know, based off the NHL offseason that I've been watching here, like I wouldn't even be surprised if something like that happened. And after the NFL offseason, all the guys moving around, like, obviously, they'd be adding Soto and then extending him. So
you'd have to extend him before you get him, right?
I mean, yeah.
All that stuff. You're going to have yeah. something in place.
Yeah, it'd have to be, like, in place. And I think that would probably – if they made that trade, do you think that would entice Aaron Judge to come back? Or would that just be like, okay, we're replacing Aaron Judge with Soto?
I think it's replacing him because you can't – You have the luxury tax. You can't be over, right? You're going to lose out on a bunch of other others.
Well, I was laughing. He's like, I think Aaron Judge might be the first player to ever price himself out of the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That is pretty funny.
Let me see. I would.
You know where he's going? You know where Judge is going? Seattle.
I don't know.
No.
Okay, I would ask.
He's going to a big time market. It's I'm thinking Dodgers or possibly San Diego Mets. I could see him even just taking the subway over to the Mets.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have to move?
Okay, as far as roster players, I would take Matt Carpenter because he's more of a designated hitter, but he could also play the right field. So I take him, and then maybe if you're going to trade Corbin, maybe try to get a starting pitcher.
I heard Cortez's name come up.
Yeah, I've heard that, but he's had a really good year.
Yeah, you can't. And the Yankees do need pitching. I mean, King just went on the DL or the on the IR with a broken elbow, right? Chapman hasn't been himself. I think they just designated Sean.
I don't think that would be good for them to include Cortez.
No, I wouldn't put Cortez in.
Like
there.
Just for like, especially this year, like he's been so good for them. Like if the Nationals can get the Yankees top four prospects and Cortez and maybe a couple players just to make the rosters balance, like you'd take that in a heartbeat, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when you know he's leaving. Now with baseball, like is he going to be like an unrestricted free agent? Like, do they have to trade him?
Oh, yeah, he's got arbitration rights.
Okay. But he clearly doesn't want to stay there. So it seems a little similar to like the Matthew Tkachuk stuff with Calgary, where they had him for a year with the restricted free agent, but he informed the team he wasn't going to stay. So, okay, let's trade him and try to get something.
Yeah.
Is this similar with Washington? Like, or like Washington with your service, like, shouldn't they be able to keep him?
If they Washington's rebuilding, right? So he doesn't want to be there. Where with Tkachuk and the Flames, I mean, the Flames aren't rebuilding, right?
They lost a big piece. You know, it was panic mode there for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But after, I know we're segueing into the Flames now, but after that trade, it's going to be a 1 year, see what happens, I think. If the Flames end up doing pretty well, they'll probably offer the two guys, Weider and Huberdeau, big time extensions. And if they don't take them, then they're going to trade them.
Right.
And then if you look at Jonathan Huberdeau at the trade deadline, you're going to get a haul for him, I think. But we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
But with the Soto trade, I think the Yankees could get him for what you proposed there. I think that might be a little too much. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then I just pulled up the Padres. And then we'll do the Blue Jays just for fun, Hawk.
Oh, yeah. We always think. But you know what? The Blue Jays are starting to go after guys. Like, they got a free agent when they were battling.
Yeah.
They overpaid for George Springer, but they got him. Yeah. And that was huge. That was huge for Toronto.
$150 million for Springer, who's made some great catches, who's kind of put some stability at the top of the lineup.
They just gave him an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
it was nice. It was sorry to interrupt you, Jeff, but it was nice because a lot of times Toronto, they would go after guys, but they wouldn't really go after them. They're like, oh, we'll try, but we're not going to send this huge offer for these free agents. And it's nice that a player of George Springer's caliber chose Toronto.
But they also had a rule that the Blue Jays would never go over 4 years for a player.
Yeah.
Longest time, right? It was something that was known. And then they signed Springer. You know, they traded Grichik for Tapia, who hits that inside the park home run.
And Grichik was struggling in the park grand slam.
You know, Grichik's struggling in Colorado, you know, and that's where, I mean, everyone loves Toronto except for that one idiot that said that nobody wants to go play in Toronto.
Right.
Basketball.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, the thing is, And before we get back to the Padres, there's the thing is with Toronto, and I mean, you looked at it, right? I mean, even though the Mariners swept the Blue Jays, the players coming back saying, man, just like you have 30,000 Blue Jays in an away stadium. You don't see that with the Yankees. You don't see that Red Sox. You don't see that with any team. You know,
well, because the Blue Jays have an entire country cheering for them.
Yeah, they do.
Like most teams just have a, like Yankees and Dodgers have huge followings all over the country for sure. But most teams are just set in their regions. Mm-hmm. Toronto is like all the way.
Yeah.
Like not too many Canadians don't cheer for the Blue Jays. They either cheer against them because they want to be that guy or they cheer for them.
So out of 37 million, you got 30 million that cheer for the Blue Jays. And yeah. Like even Cosmet says, like, I didn't know Detroit was that close to Toronto when they played the Tigers. And all of a sudden you have all these Blue Jay fans. I mean, even last night in Boston, the last 2 days in Boston.
Yeah.
Full of Blue Jay fans. I mean, they're trying to get the wave going. And you don't hear you don't hear a Go Nationals chant in Seattle. You don't hear a Go Nationals chant in Kansas City. But you hear a Go Blue Jays chant in Kansas City. In Seattle.
They're everywhere. Los Canadians. Angeles. All right, Bill, what's the San Diego trade?
So, all right, I'll start with their prospects. I would go for their number one prospect, Robert Hassel III, who's an outfielder. He's currently an A+, but it looks like he has a lot of potential. Then I would go for Egay Rosario. I hope I pronounced his first name right. Who's currently in AAA, and he could be someone who could play any position in the infield. He could be someone who, let's say if Josh Bell gets traded, this guy could be like your first baseman, or if you know you need a third baseman, this guy could be it. Then I would go for their right-handed pitcher, Rice Kerr, who's also in AAA. He's a righty, and I would get another outfielder, but he would be in development. I would take Joshua Mears. Now, as far as players go, I would try to get Mackenzie Gore, who's in their starting rotation right now, but he's like the sixth guy, basically. And then I would also get another outfielder, and I would get Esturi Ruiz, who could play any position in the outfield.
Yeah, that's another huge, and this is what it's gonna take to get a guy like Soto. So You're basically emptying out your prospect pool.
Yeah,
and then you're going after a big star here. So I think Washington's gonna be set up here.
Are they taking Hosmer on?
Maybe. I don't know.
Right, I know the Padres want to get away from him.
Right.
Well, see, that's something the Nationals can do because they're not going to be competitive for probably 3-4 years after
this trade. Yeah, it's going to take a few years.
So you might as well take some – if you can get another prospect out of them, if you're taking off a big contract, that's going to be done by the time you think you're going to be good. Mm-hmm. I'd say go for that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Now for the Blue Jays.
In the hypothetical trade that will never happen.
Yes, in the hypothetical trade that would never happen, I would take...
I think will happen, by the way.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, you were announcing the prospects from the Yankees and the Padres, right? And I know you said they got a catcher. I mean, I'll tell you what, man. You guys would be getting a great catcher in Marino.
See, I was thinking about that. Like if you could split time with him and Ruiz, you know, maybe that could work.
But see, the thing with Marino is he's going to be ready next year.
Right.
Now, do you want that now? Or do you want someone that's maybe 18 years old and it's going to be a superstar in 4 years?
Look at it this way, right? Who's the best catcher that's probably played in the last 20 years?
Molina,
out of St. Louis.
Oh, so, Molina.
Right? So you get a guy like that who's going to stabilize your pitching staff, who pops up at 1.4 seconds to throw the ball for guys stealing, who can run a 4.4 down the first base line as a catcher. You know, you're looking at some, and I mean, to me, baseball is all about, every sport is what's up the middle, right? catcher, pitching, center field, and your second and shortstop, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you can get a piece like that right there, it's a starter.
Yeah.
But sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Actually, you gave me a little bit more time to figure out who I'd take. Okay. I would take... Yeah, I guess I'll take Marino. You kind of convinced me to go with Marino.
Well, he's their number one prospect.
Yeah, they're number one. So,
I think with Nationals, if you're not offering your number one prospect, they're just going to hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
Like, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, or maybe two pitchers and two non-pitcher mm-hmm. prospects. That's probably what you're going to ask for.
Yeah, it depends on the Nationals do the prospects, right? I mean, they might look at guys number two in the Yankees system. They might say, you know what? Yeah, you wouldn't be number
one. Yeah, because the Yankees haven't picked high in a while, right?
Yeah, a long time.
Even the Blue Jays haven't really had a high-end prospect in the last few years. So we'll see.
Let's see. I would also take... Okay, I would take Jordan Grazins.
Yep.
Yep.
Otto Lopez.
Yep.
And you could have... He could play outfield, because I'm looking as like second base, outfield, shortstop. He could be in pretty much any position there.
Yep.
And then I would take, as far as development goes, Sam Wilburs. And then maybe, if they can get it in, Ricky Tiedemann.
I was going to say, you got to take Tiedemann for sure. The guy pitched in the futures.
Yeah.
He's bolting through the minor leagues.
And then,
that's a pretty decent trade
and then
so far.
As far as your... roster.
Yeah.
I wish I could be like, oh, we're going to take Biggio and Guerrero. No, I'm not going to do that.
I think it's going to be Biggio and Lourdes Gurriel.
I think so too.
You're not trading Springer, and you're not Teoscar Hernandez.
Or Guerrero. Worth. You're not trading Guerrero.
No.
I would trade for Ramel Tapia? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah. I don't think they would be giving up Tapia after they just acquired him.
And as far as pitching goes, I would take I'd take Alek Manoah. I know.
So I don't think Blue Jays would trade Manoah for Soto straight across.
How about the Stripling?
Are doing this, they're like, yeah, no, we're good.
How about Stripling?
Yeah, Stripling, possibly. Yeah.
Because that was my other choice, was Stripling.
Yeah. No, there's few untouchables on the Blue Jays. Vladdy, Manoah. Mm-hmm.
Gosman.
And Gosman.
You got him at the beginning of the offseason, right?
Yeah, they just signed him to replace Ray, so.
Yeah.
And they just signed Berrios to the big 7-year deal. So those three are going to be the three pitchers in Toronto for.
And you're not trading Bo Bichette.
Nope. Yeah. You're not trading Kirk. Kirk gives us all of us guys who have dad bods hope.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's the speed demon.
So
he's the only guy that hits it in the gap and only gets a single.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, yeah, there's a real good chance a trade could happen, but at the same time, there's also a good chance that a trade never happens.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be more offseason.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a lot more teams in the mix. And then you'll probably know a little bit more about extensions. And like Soto, like what? I don't know why he'd be rushing to an extension. Like maybe he wants to see what Judge gets or somebody's other free agents. And then you jump on it.
I mean, and I'll say this. I feel the reason that we're all in this right now is because of Scott Boras. He's the reason we're in this situation, because this is not the Nationals' first rodeo with him, because they had this with Harper. At the time I thought they gave Harper a really good deal, but he turned it down and then he went to Philadelphia. They made a deal with Strasburg, and since that World Series, Strasburg's been on the IL most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for the longest time Soto was going to stay. He's like, the fans really like him. He likes the fans. But, you know, like Hawk said when he talked about Mike Trout, you know, Mike Trout is for loyalty. And I guess here, Soto isn't. And I think part of that is because of Scott Boras. So,
yeah, you can see where the team is heading. And he has that opportunity to maybe go to a larger market, make as much as he wants. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even think the money is the biggest factor here for Soto.
Right.
Like 14 years, 440. That's a pretty good per year salary.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's looking more endorsements. Everything else is going to pay him out. He's done as well. Right.
So that's why I think, like, when you were saying maybe Seattle, I see him going to a large market, either Dodgers or Yankees or Mets.
Yeah. But the thing I think about with Seattle, right, you got Rodriguez out there.
Yep.
Judge out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're building great. They're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it'd be an intriguing part to put Judge in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the guys who came through that system with Griffey and Rodriguez.
Sure.
You know,
yep.
The owner's got money.
Oh, no. Everything you're saying makes sense. I just think with Judge and Soto, I think it's going to be more of the marketplace. I just, you look at Aaron Judge, he looks like a Dodger. I just see it.
And the way
that lineup even scarier.
Like the way he's playing this season, he's gonna get a big contract.
Oh,
no matter where he ends up.
It'll be a record setter, I think.
For him to be for 14 years of normal Judge starting next year.
That's okay. Well,
too.
Hey, if we can get Judge out of the AL East, I'll be a happy guy. All right.
I mean, he's almost at 40 home runs already, and we're in July.
Plus, he's on the fantasy team of DK, so we got to cheer for him. And it just kind of, I kind of do a little fist pump when he hits a home run on the Jays. I'm like, okay, that sucked, but.
Yeah, by the way, Hawk, who's in first place in your division right now?
I believe it's probably Bill.
We won't talk about Bill's football and hockey standings, but I think he does know a little bit about the baseball, so we're going to.
Hockey's my worst, I'll admit. Hockey's my worst, but I just have fun being with you guys.
I think you beat me like three times in baseball already, so I don't even like. Oh, Bill's playing. Okay, that's.
I had like a 10-game winning streak at one point this season, folks.
Yeah. I'm a second half player.
Yeah, we'll see.
I
started out pretty good. I've two losses in a row, and I think I'm going to take a third here. So.
Well, no, this week I think this week's the extended week because of the All-Star break. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Today's the last day.
Yeah, it's the last day. And I believe I was down like 18-6, so it's not looking good. Mm. But all right, Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
Let's jump into it.
Let's jump into one.
Why the people
Douglas Gretzky
downloaded this show or wanted to listen, and it took about 35 minutes, but we're gonna talk about it now.
Yep. All right, so. Probably the greatest gift that Canada's ever given is Wayne Gretzky.
I mean, it's not poutine, fries and gravy and cheese.
I've never had poutine.
Oh,
what?
Sorry, I've never had poutine.
Well, man, you will love it. You'll the first time you eat it, you'll be like, I love this.
I was walking out to protest. But okay, so Bill, we have talked about you coming north.
Yes,
yeah. The three of us meeting in the woods at Bezerhawks, and we should do a live show someday. We'll try to get it set up. I will bring the poutine.
All right.
We will figure out the best poutine.
I mean, I love French fries, so that's not going to be a problem.
It's fries, gravy, and melted cheese, and it's delicious. I've had the best poutine. I used to work out in Banff, so Banff, Alberta, and they definitely have the best poutine I've ever had. So I think that's probably where we'd have to go.
All right. I'll have to start saving my money.
Poutine's up there with Wayne Gretzky, though.
Okay.
It's close.
And I do like Rush, so that won't be a problem.
All right.
Okay, so Wayne Gretzky, born January 26, 1961. And basically, from the time he was about six, he was playing hockey. Like, he just was playing hockey. He was playing against older kids. And he was pretty damn good. By the time he was age 10, in just one season with the Brantford Nadrovsky Steelers, Gretzky had scored 378 goals and had 139 assists in just one season.
It's not bad.
I know.
An average of 6 goals a game or something like that?
Probably.
Maybe more. Poor goaltenders, man.
Oh, I know. The first time that he was mentioned in the media was by John Iaboni in the Toronto Telegram in October 1971. By 1974, in the Quebec International Pee Wee Hockey Tournament, Gretzky scored 26 points playing for Brantford. By the time he was 13, he had scored over 1,000 goals. Yeah.
Damn.
And we have parents complaining today about how their kids don't get much play time. Oh God!
Yeah, how do you make Kate Gretzky off the ice?
Oh God. Okay, so by the time Gretzky is 14, his family arranged for him to move to and play hockey in Toronto to further his career, and he ends up going to play for the Toronto Nationals in a league that included 20-year-olds. He earned Rookie of the Year honors in the Metro Junior B League in 1975-76 with 60 points in 28 games. The following year, as a 15-16-year-old, he had 72 points in 32 games.
Starting to see a trend here.
Yeah. So we'll fast forward to when he starts getting attention from the pros, because in 1978, the World Hockey Association, which I guess we could say, if we're going to make a fair comparison, they would have been the ABA to the NHL's NBA.
Yeah.
That's a fair comparison.
Yeah, I'd say.
The NHL did not allow the signing of players under 20, but the WHA had no rules regarding such signings. So several teams tried to get Gretzky, notably the Indianapolis Racers and the Birmingham Bulls. However, it was the Racers who ended up signing Gretzky to a 7-year personal services contract worth almost $2 million American. Gretzky scored his first goal against Dave Dryden of the Edmonton Oilers in his 5th game and his 2nd goal 4 seconds later.
It took him 5 games to get a goal? That kind of surprised me.
Yeah,
well, he probably wasn't playing top minutes, though, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
And then 4 seconds later, they put him back out there and got another one. So nice.
Well, his time in Indianapolis didn't last long because he only played 8 games for them. The Racers were losing $40,000 per game, and their owner told Gretzky he would be moved, offering him a choice between the Edmonton Oilers or the Winnipeg Jets. On the advice of his agent, Gretzky picked the Oilers, but the move was not that simple. On November 2nd, Gretzky, goaltender Eddie Mayo, and forward Peter Driscoll were put on a private plane, not knowing where they would land and what team they would be going. Oh, God, that sounds fantastic.
Get on the plane.
Yeah, seriously.
Shut your mouth. Sit in the back and close your eyes. Yeah,
pretty much.
Well, you're either going to Edmonton or Winnipeg. Like, geez. That's not anyone's vacation request.
Right. So while in the air, the owner of the Indianapolis Racers, his name is Nelson Scalbania, was working on a deal. He offered to play a game of backgammon with the owner of the Jets, Michael Gabuti. The stakes being, if Gabuti won, he would get Gretzky, and if he lost, he had to give Scalbania a share of the Jets.
Gabuti, the high stake backgammon game, jeez.
Well, it never happened. Gabuti turned down the proposal, and the players landed in Edmonton. The one who probably felt the worst was Mayo, because he paid the $4,000 bill for the flight with his credit card.
Jeez.
Yeah. So Gretzky ends up going to Edmonton to be with the Oilers. And on his 18th birthday, he signs a 10-year personal services contract, which was the longest in hockey history at the time, worth $3 million with options for 10 more years. Gretzky finished third in the league at scoring at 110 points. He captured the Lou Kaplan Trophy as the Rookie of the Year and helped the Oilers to first place in the league. The Oilers reached the Avco World Trophy Finals, where they lost to the Jets in six games. It would be the only year that Gretzky would be in the WHA, as the league folded the following season. And then Gretzky goes and pretty much takes the NHL by storm.
Yeah.
In his first official NHL season, 79-80, Gretzky was awarded the Hart Trophy as the most valuable player, the first of eight in a row, and tied for the scoring lead with 137 points. Gretzky only played 79 games, and, well, he fell two goals short of winning the Ross Trophy, which was won by Marcel Dion, who had 53 goals. Gretzky had 51. Gretzky would also, well, actually, he would not be eligible for the Calder Memorial Trophy given to the top rookie because of his previous WHA experience, but I'm sure if he was eligible, he would have won it.
Which is that's like one of the trivia questions, like, which award did Gretzky never win? And a lot of people don't think about the Calder just because they just assume that he was a rookie in the NHL and he had a great season and he won it.
Yeah. Which, again, is crap, because Sergei Makarov goes to Calgary at 27, playing in the Russian Professional League, wins Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah, it's a little odd.
So you tell me how Gretzky could not win the Rookie of the Year back then.
Yeah.
And then they changed the rules after.
They probably didn't acknowledge the Russian League as a professional league. That's probably the reason.
Still professional.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Elias Pettersson won Rookie of the Year, and he played in the Swedish Elite League as a pro.
Yep, true.
So you tell me why. You know what? The NHL dropped the ball. There's only two balls that have ever been dropped in sports. A perfect game that was blown by an umpire in Detroit and the Calder going to Gretzky.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been many balls dropped in sports.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so in Gretzky's second season, he would win the first of second consecutive Art Ross trophies with a then record 164 points. He had 102 assists, which broke Bobby Orr's record for assists in a season and Phil Esposito's record for points in a season. He had 152. But then we get to 81-82, and this is really his year. He gets 50 goals in his first 50 games, which was set by Rocket Richard in the 44-45 season. He scores his 50th goal on December 30th, 1981. And he did this in only 39 games. You probably will never see that again.
That's one of the most impressive things when you're talking about Gretzky. like 50 and 39.
Yeah.
Like I know the defense wasn't what it is now, but that's still like, it's, just go back and like watch some YouTube clips if some of you guys are younger and never saw Gretzky play. Like I saw him play live a couple times.
Yeah.
And just as a kid. And I still remember like, he was just so much faster than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. So he ends the season with records that probably will never be broken again. 92 goals, 120 assists, 212 points. He becomes the only player in league history to break the 200-point mark. And the honors just go on for that year. Yep. He's named the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year in the United States. He's the first hockey player and Canadian to be given that award. Sports Illustrated names him the Sportsman of the Year for 1982. And the Canadian Press names him the Newsmaker of the Year in 1982. He gets a special honor in 1984 as he is named an Officer of the Order of Canada for outstanding contribution to the sport of hockey. Wow. Really? Okay. I wish our country had it like that.
Part of Order of Canada.
He's the only guy who's ever got a key to the country of Canada.
You know what? I believe that.
Yep.
So eventually, and this is something I did not know, the NHL in 1985 came up with what would be considered the Gretzky rule. In June 1985, as part of a package of five rule changes to be implemented for the upcoming 85-86 season, the Board of Governors decided to introduce offsetting penalties where neither team lost a man when coincidental penalties were called. The effect of calling offsetting penalties was felt immediately in the NHL because during the early 80s, when the Oilers entered a 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 situation with an opponent, they frequently used the space on the ice to score one or more goals. Gretzky held a press conference one day after being awarded the Hart Trophy, criticizing the NHL for punishing teams and players who previously benefited. The rule change became known as the Gretzky Rule. This rule was reversed for the 92-93 season.
After he was on his decline.
Yeah, really. 84. You know.
But I don't think he was declining in 92.
It made his office bigger.
Yeah.
So while in Edmonton, he and the Oilers would end up winning four Stanley Cups. I think it's like in a 5-year period. Am I right on that?
Yep.
Yep.
And then one of the darkest days in the history of Canada happened.
The history of sports, not the history of Canada, the history of sports.
Because on August 9th, 1888, Wayne Gretzky is traded to the Los Angeles Kings.
And when this happened, this man, any player in any sport can be traded because of this trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Edmonton to trade Wayne Gretzky at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I know they're desperate financially and everything, but like that. And if you want to, I don't know if you have the trade in front of you, but it wasn't a lot of superstars coming back to Edmonton. Like,
no, it wasn't.
A bad, bad trade.
So the Oilers, along with Gretzky, traded McSorley and Krushelinski to the Kings for Carson Martin Gelinas. Did I say that right?
Martin Gelina.
Oh, there we go. $15 million in cash and the Kings' first round draft picks in 1989, which would later be traded to the New Jersey Devils. But that and they also used or gave them their 91 and 93 picks as well.
Yep.
It became known as simply the trade.
Yep.
And not only did it upset Canadians, it upset the entire Canadian government, to the point where new Democratic Party House leader Nelson Rice demanded the government block the trade.
Yeah.
This would be like, all right, this would be like Michael Jordan, after he three-peats the first time, gets traded to the Dallas Mavericks. Basically, that's what the deal would be like.
Yep. You know, it's funny, like, if this was a trade in fantasy hockey, it would have been vetoed.
Oh my God. It would have been vetoed in a heartbeat.
Like, if I'm the commissioner and someone makes this trade, I'm like, no, sorry. I usually wouldn't veto a trade, but it's like so one-sided.
Yeah. And it was Peter Pocklington decided he was going to do some illegal shenanigans.
Yeah.
Had to get out of it. Got
blasted. And I think LA also, didn't they send $20 million cash too?
I think so.
In this trade?
Because
I think it was a lot of it was the money.
Yeah.
So. The trade, yep, didn't it?
The trade.
And that's what it was.
So he gets to Los Angeles and immediately has an impact on the Kings. Because they, you know, they start to become an attraction in LA now.
And there's kids in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mean kids that are like 20 to 28 years old.
Yeah.
From California because of Wayne Gretzky. Like, you look at all these, like, all the teams in California now.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Like, he was so exciting. He got people in the stands. The San Jose Sharks became a team. The Anaheim Ducks became a team. And I think it's all Wayne Gretzky just getting the excitement in California.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where Bettman decided to put his nose in the hockey afterwards and said to us Canadians, Canada will never get a Stanley Cup again.
Well, he didn't say that, but
yeah,
it hasn't happened since 93, since we were about to talk about 93 and Gretzky in the finals. So
yeah,
an illegal stick.
So in his first year, the Kings make the playoffs in his first year, and they eliminate the Edmonton Oilers in 7 games. They were down 3-1 in the series, but they came back, won 3 straight to eliminate the Oilers. However, in the next round, they would be swept by the eventual Stanley Cup champions, the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
So the next year.
Sad, dark day that day was in Canada.
So the next year, they get back to the playoffs, and they get revenge on the Flames. They eliminate them in 6 games. However, in the second round, they would get swept again, eventually, to the team that would end up winning the Stanley Cup that year, the Edmonton Oilers.
That was when Messi was captain of the team, I believe.
Yeah. And that's the, I'm going to say this real quick. I think that's the one thing, as an American, that I kind of, like, I understand the anger that you got, like, your parents would have had when the trade happened, you know, trading Gretzky away.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, the Oilers won the Stanley Cup like 2 seasons after they traded him. So, not like the end of the world happened in Canada, but I guess.
Yeah. Well, they were still like a fantastic team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even without him. They had
Billy Ramford, they had Messier, they had Curry, they had Anderson, right? They still had a bunch of the original players.
Right.
Yeah.
Who were, you know.
And that is the Oilers' one and only Stanley Cup without him.
Yeah, the only one.
So who knows how many more they would have had if they had Gretzky in the early 90s.
Oh, my gosh.
They would have had more than the Cowboys have for Super Bowls.
They probably would. They probably would.
Well, they had 4. They only needed one more.
So, yeah, they're tied. So,
yeah.
So now we're going to go to 92-93. And Gretzky has a little bit of a down year. He's dealing with a back injury. And this season ends a 13-year streak where he records at least 100 points each season. He only has 65 for that year.
What a bum.
However, he does help the Kings get all the way to their first Stanley Cup Finals. He has a hat trick in Game 7 of the Conference Finals against the Maple Leafs, which I'm still trying to figure out how the Maple Leafs were in the Western Conference at that time, but that's
another. Well, you know, the NHL doesn't really have a globe. They don't really understand.
Yeah, I know.
I think Detroit was in the East and Toronto was in the West.
Yeah.
At one point, and then they and alternated. Then Detroit was in the West. Detroit was in the West, but you did drive there.
Yeah.
So it made no sense.
But see, that was the thing about the Red Wings, right? They went on a 27 playoff. Every year they made the playoffs for 27 years. Mm-hmm. Because you know why? They're like, ooh, the West is getting too tough. We better go to the East. Ooh, the East is getting too tough. We better go to the West. Oh, the West is getting tough. We better go back to the East.
I don't know if you really have that option to say, okay, we're leaving this conference. Everyone's getting too good.
Ask UCLA and USC, but that'll be for another time.
Yeah.
Okay, so they get to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they play the Montreal Canadiens. They win the first game of the series, but they would lose the remaining four, and the team lost the next three games in overtime, which I didn't remember that. So that's fascinating. And then
I think that was the year where Montreal broke the record for most overtime wins in a playoff run.
Yeah,
they were winning every game in overtime.
And this is the last year a Canadian team has won.
Yeah. It is.
After all those, like you said, the Oilers and then the Flames and then Montreal. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Someone told me in 93 we wouldn't see a Canadian win the Stanley Cup for the next 30 years.
I wouldn't have believed it.
And then Bettman got involved.
Yep. So the rest of the time that Gretzky's there, the Kings do not make the playoffs. So in early 96, Gretzky requests a trade. And on February 27th of 96, he gets traded to the St. Louis Blues in a trade for Patrice Tardif, Roman Vopat, Craig Johnson, and two draft picks, which would later become Peter Hogan and Matt Zoltek. So,
household names.
I think Vopat got drafted by the Calgary Flames at one time.
Yeah. So, in 31 games playing with the Blues, he scores 37 points for the team. And they get within one game of the Western Conference Finals. However, in that seventh game, I almost called him Boston. The Detroit Red Wings beat him in overtime. It's like one of the most played clips, I think, in Red Wings history to eliminate the Blues.
I think that's one of the greatest goals.
Yeah.
In NHL history. You're talking about the Steve Yzerman slap shot, I'm assuming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So after that, Gretzky rejects a 3-year deal worth $15 million with the Blues. And on July 21st, signs with the New York Rangers as a free agent for a 2-year deal worth $8 million plus incentives.
Jeez.
So his last three seasons would be spent with the New York Rangers. And in his first season, the Rangers get to the Eastern Conference Finals in 1997. They would be defeated by the Philadelphia Flyers. And that's really the last time he ever gets to the playoffs.
Yeah. His Ranger time wasn't the greatest.
He was getting old, right?
Yeah.
And the St. Louis year, I think it was just the one season he was in St. Louis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the 37 games.
Yeah, like when you think of Wayne Gretzky, you think in Edmonton primarily, and then you think of L.A.
Yeah.
But you also think of him wearing that bright red jersey for one of the greatest countries ever.
Yeah.
For hockey in Canada.
Yeah.
Him on a line with Lemieux. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Canada Cup. Yeah.
So I want to talk about his last game that he ever played. And I kind of remembered this because the NFL draft is happening in the same time, in the same venue as this game, because the NFL draft is like in the theater of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Like for those that don't know with Madison Square Garden, they have like two parts. There's the arena part where you see the action. And then there's like a theater that's, I think it's kind of underneath it. And there would be times where if you couldn't attend, like if you couldn't physically be in the arena portion of the garden, they'd open up the theater for you. Like you could go in the theater of the garden. So April 18th, 1999, they play the Pittsburgh Penguins. They lose the game 2-1 in overtime. Although this day was a very special day because both national anthems were played that day. In place of the lyrics, "O Canada, we stand on guard for thee," Bryan Adams, who I believe Canada has apologized for, that's what they said in the South Park movie.
You can't be talking about freaking poutine and then Bryan Adams thinking you can get away with it on this show, buddy.
Sorry, that was a joke from a movie. Bryan Adams.
Dion.
Yeah.
You do apologize for Dion? Okay, that's fair.
I'll send Justin Bieber to your house.
No! God, no. Anyway, Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams ad-libbed, "We're going to miss you, Wayne Gretzky." The Star Spangled Banner, which was sung by John Amarante, was altered to include the words "in the land of Wayne Gretzky."
Nice.
Gretzky ended his career with one final point, an assist on the lone Ranger goal scored by Brian Leetch. Gretzky told journalist Scott Morrison that the final game of his career was his greatest day. He recounted, "My last game in New York was my greatest day in hockey. Everything you enjoy about the sport of hockey as a kid, driving to practice with mom and dad, driving to the game with mom and dad, looking in the stands and seeing your mom and dad and your friends, that all came together in that last game in New York." Wayne Gretzky is so influential. He is still to this day the only player in the National Hockey League whose number is retired throughout the league. No one can ever wear the number 99 ever again.
And I think the NFL should follow that suit. I think baseball should follow that suit. Same with Jackie Robinson's number should never be worn in all three sports. Sorry, four, I guess we count basketball as a sport.
I think we do.
Yeah. Do you guys want to know some of his stuff that he did, like making guest appearances on shows and stuff?
Sure.
Okay. Well, he was a celebrity judge on Dance Fever.
All right.
And, okay, I can't believe this is true, but I guess this is. He had a dramatic role on The Young and the Restless.
That is true.
Which, I I'd never heard of that.
He had his own video game.
Yeah, he did. He hosted a
cartoon too with
Jordan and Bo Jackson. Yeah.
I think it was called Pro Stars or All Stars or something.
Pro Stars.
Yeah. He hosted an episode of Saturday Night Live in 1989. He also made a brief cameo in the 2016 Christmas episode of The Simpsons. I will have to watch that episode just to find him. Of course, he married Janet Jones. They met on Dance Fever. And their daughter is such a beautiful woman. Oh, my God. I wish I was Dustin Johnson. You lucky.
Not anymore. Not with him joining the new charity golf league.
Yeah, but you're like dating you know, Wayne Gretzky's daughter are engaged or whatever.
Yeah, how are you supposed to impress her?
But you, and you know that that DJ had a cocaine problem, right? Because he was suspended in golf for it. And Gretzky had a child and said, you know what? You need to do better.
Yep.
I think if the great one comes to you and says, you know what? Enough's enough. You're like, yes, sir.
Oh, okay, sir. Yeah.
Now, there may be, maybe, only one controversial thing Wayne Gretzky's ever done. Maybe. In 2003, while not criticizing Canada for declining to participate in the invasion of Iraq, Gretzky praised then-President George W. Bush and his handling of the conflict, saying, quote, "The President of the United States is a great leader. I happen to think he's a wonderful man, and if he believes what he's doing is right, I back him 100%.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably not a good look.
No, no, but that was back when freedom of speech was actually a real thing.
You can exactly.
And nobody would ever say anything against it, right? If you said that today, you would get
scrutinized. Yeah.
So Wayne Gretzky's total stats, he had 894 NHL goals, 1,963 assists, 2,857 points, only 577 penalty minutes. He did not go to the box that often.
No.
I remember when they did Sports Century, ESPN did, and they did the Wayne Gretzky episode. This was, God, I think 99 when it happened. And I think he ended up being like number five on that list. Like the final like part of that episode, they had an opera singer singing this song of like Gretzky. And then you get to the part towards the end where at the end, the guy like reintroduces Gretzky in Edmonton. This is when they retired the jersey. And he's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. And Gretzky's like over there. He's calm. And, you know, he's like, it's okay. It's okay. But no, I mean, Wayne Gretzky still to this day is one of the most talked about names, I think, anywhere you go. And like DK said, you do not have to be a hockey fan to know who Wayne Gretzky is. I mean, I even, before we got together, I put up in our Facebook group a song that a band did called Wayne Gretzky. And I first heard this on the radio like 20 years ago when I was a teenager in high school. And it's a funny song because the guy's basically putting out like, I have a man crush on Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. Basically, so, like I listened to his song when you posted it before the show. Mm-hmm. He's basically like a straight guy, but he's basically willing to have sex with Wayne Gretzky because he's Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like, I'm straight. I like women, but I would have sex with Wayne Gretzky. That's what he's saying in the song. And if you haven't heard the song, like we put it on, Bill posted it on our Facebook group. I'm sure the link will be in the description when this goes on YouTube. And listen to the song. It's beautiful.
it probably has won many of awards.
We're all getting a little misty here over the song, I think.
But you know, like, like put it this way, right? When you're talking guys who make a difference in sports, mm-hmm. right? Jordan basketball, Brady in football, Gretzky in hockey, right? Obviously, baseball, you can debate who's made a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and I would put it this way, Bo Jackson was healthy enough to do what he did. I bet you could put him in both baseball and football of how they make a difference.
I think
what Gretzky did was, you know, he put everything on the map. He put hockey on the map. He got traded to LA. Everything happened down there, which is good to see. But I do also think that Gretzky's goal record may be broken.
Right.
By a guy who plays for the Washington Capitals.
Alex Ovechkin. And he's about to, when we get to the start of next season, he's about to pass Gordie Howe.
Yep. I think if he gets what was it like? Averages 38 goals for the next four seasons or five seasons. He will pass him, and I think he will.
And even Gretzky has said, like, if he passes me, I will consider him the greatest player of all time. And that's coming from Wayne Gretzky.
I would consider him the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Yeah, exactly. I would consider
maybe not him greatest of all time because. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Ovechkin's won one cup, lost many to Crosby, or Gretzky won cups, right? I mean, championships do make a big difference.
Yep. When you're talking like the in the GOAT category, like it's kind of like why Tom Brady is so much higher than the other quarterbacks because of all the championships.
Well, and that's a big thing, right? You don't pay a guy not to just to make it the playoffs. You pay a guy to win the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Win the championship. So that's what Gretzky did.
Now, this is a great talk today. Bill has won two polls in a row, so we gotta like Canada needs to make a comeback here.
Real quick, I do want to mention the other two that were up for consideration. Both were great choices, and I think they will get an episode of their own in the future. Peyton Manning and Jackie Robinson; those were the other two. I really think they will get their own episode at some point.
I do have a Wayne Gretzky story.
Okay.
Because I did meet Wayne Gretzky.
Oh.
Back when I was growing up in Medicine Hat and the Blue Jays just got a run. The Blue Jays are going to get a second run.
Well, I'm recording it, so thanks for ruining it for me.
In the first.
All good.
So when I was in daycare, right, Gretzky came down to Medicine Hat. He did a lot of things around Alberta, right? And just kind of like
trying to picture you in daycare. It's this little Seahawk.
He's got a Seahawk helmet on.
You're my snack.
Brandon, I gotta go to timeout. He tackled me from behind.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought when you said daycare, and I'm just like, oh my god, I can't imagine you as a little kid.
Get on this bus. We go to McDonald's. And Medicine Hat, the McDonald's still there to this day, and Gretzky's there. And all the kids are all me and him jumping on, right? Stuff like that. And he was a good guy and all that. And I sat on the other side of the restaurant and he comes up. He's like, oh, he's like, why aren't you hanging out? I said, well, I'm a Canucks fan. And he's like, I respect that. He took my hand and he walked away. Cause, you know, at that time, right? It was, you're a diehard hockey fan. It's like that guy's from the Oilers, right? I mean, he burnt the Canucks on many occasions. But he did. He said, I respect that. Shook my hand and he walked away.
Yeah, but the fact that
I had my cheeseburger, my drink, and got back on the bus. Now, later on in life, right, I would have maybe done something different.
Yeah.
At that time, I'm like, you know what? You play for the others? No.
We don't like you.
That was my story.
Well, I actually got a story about Wayne, too. And this is a story my dad told me when I was in my 20s. So he used to drive a concrete mixer in Edmonton. It's where I was born. And he's driving his concrete mixer down the road. And this blonde in these tight bike shorts is riding his bike. Doesn't look. Goes right through the crosswalk on his bike. My dad slams on his brakes. He almost runs this guy over. Wayne Gretzky.
Oh.
1987.
Oh, no.
My dad could have ended Wayne Gretzky before. He told me this story. And I was like, you know what? If you run over Wayne Gretzky, like, we would have had to move to the States. Like, even if he didn't get, if it was an accident and everything. Like, there's no way we could have stayed in Edmonton. It might have been before 87, actually, because we moved to Ontario before that. But
your dad could have been the reason we don't have the show today.
Yes. And later that day, you can't make this up, okay? Later that day, a different guy runs out in front of him. Guess who that was?
Mark Messier.
Mark Messier.
No!
He could have took, and he's a Montreal Canadiens fan. He could have took out the Oilers dynasty in one day in his truck. So Gary, Dad, the fossil, whatever we're calling you, I hope you're listening to the show. I wanted to share that, and maybe you can make you put a comment on the Facebook page how that went down. But this is a story he told me a long time ago, and I'm like, you know what? I have to share this on when we do the Wayne Gretzky show. So
we will tag Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier on Twitter so they can hear this.
I'm sure Wayne, my dad said Wayne like turned around and kind of waved at him. Like, hey, dude, thanks for not running me over.
Messier gave him the finger.
And this is the funny story. My dad told me he hung his out the window and he's wearing his Montreal Canadiens jersey and he's like, like not the crest. So he's like, all right. And then Wayne kind of smiled at him. So I had to share that story with you guys.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I'll get you next time.
See, this is why these guys are my friends, folks. These guys are gonna be like family by the end of the year at this point.
Like, I feel like I know your family when I just walk behind you when we're doing our shows. So like I told my wife I'm going to visit Bill at some point. We'll go to a Nationals game or wherever you're living now. We'll go to whatever sport is close. We'll go do Bill, a live we'll show.
We're
going out Florida for a spring training game. Speaking of which, Bill, how was the Nationals game?
Oh, it was such a blast. The Zimmerman ceremony went fantastically. And they even had a toast in the bottom of the second inning. They were giving everybody like a Budweiser like koozie. And they're like, okay, raise your beer, soda, water, whatever it is that you have, and toast Zimmerman. And Zimmerman just pops up, a can of Budweiser. And it was fun.
And then he said he's buying beers for everybody after the game.
He bought beers for all the fans before and I think during the game as well.
See, that's awesome. That's why I'm glad you guys went. So
if my nephew had not been there, I probably would have bought him a beer. So I don't really have a Gretzky story, but I do remember when I was a youngster, my brother would play hockey and sometimes he would play night hockey during the summer, which I would go to his games and I'd stay up late and I'd be like, oh, this is so cool. I'm going up past my bedtime, So, and he actually had a Gretzky jersey, a Kings jersey at one point. And I tried it on and, well, it was a bit big for my size back then. Maybe I'll find a picture. And if I could find the picture, I'll put it up in our group so everyone could see how I looked in a Wayne Gretzky jersey.
Perfect.
Because
I like it.
I've been told I look good in black.
All right.
I'll say it right now. I think the Blue Jays are throwing up a 30 burger today. Sorry, Dan. It's already 5-0 in the top of first.
Sweet. I like it. I got some money on the Jays today, so let's go. Let's go. If 28 runs is the second most scored in a series, I think that'd be something to talk about.
Yeah.
So
I think our next topic, I'll come with this topic and we'll each pick one. What was the worst franchise loss? Like a franchise loss that was devastating to them.
Ooh. Are you talking like just like of any franchise or like top three worst?
Any franchise. What was that one game?
Does it have to be a pro team?
No, it could be any team.
Oh man, I gotta go through that one in my head.
Well, like the first one that I
heartbreakers.
The first one like that comes to mind has to be the Falcons. Like just because of how much they were up by the Super Bowl against New England. That's just like when you're talking about comebacks and like when you say worst losses, like is that like a huge comeback? Because like any team that makes the Super Bowl and loses, it's got to be one of their worst losses. So
we'd have to have some criteria. that was that one game that could have maybe changed the fortune of another of the team.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay.
You know, good or bad, right? What's that one? We'll put it that way, right? What was that one that could have put him on the map or
a critical mistake?
Right.
Lose a game.
Oh, I'm gonna have to think on that. I might have to go to my dad for that one.
I don't know if I could come up with just one. Like, you could probably go through every team in the NFL and find one that is just crushing.
It's a good one. It's a good topic.
Yeah. So that's might have to think about that one. So is that going to be our topic for next week? Or are we going to put a poll up, or
yep.
You guys want to do?
How about we figure out, and then we'll send in each, and then DK, you could put up the poll.
Sure.
And then we'll let the fans decide.
Sounds good. We could almost do like a top 10 or something where we each pick like three and then someone will get four.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just kind of see. Similar to how we did the WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Earlier
this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Man, you're making me think today.
I know, right?
I'm supposed to just sit back and relax and watch some baseball. But now I have to like go through the archives of 100 years of sports.
Well, what do I have on? The Baseball Hall of Fame ceremony going on right now. So,
good old David Ortiz.
Yep,
he'll probably be the last one.
Yeah.
They got Jim Cott up there right now.
Cool.
So. I'll be watching Blue Jays.
Yep.
Dismantle the Boston Red Sox.
I'll probably be throwing that on when I go upstairs here. Yeah. So great show today, guys.
Yes. Thank you all for tuning in.
Yep. It was a good topic, and we'll try to get episode 3 out a little quicker than between episode 1 and 2. That was, you know, we got busy lives and work and other things come into play.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, episode 3 coming at you soon.
Worst losses ever.
Worst losses ever. Oh my God. Maybe we could do like,
how about this?
How about we each pick one from each sport?
Ooh, okay.
Football, hockey,
baseball,
baseball, and basketball.
Okay.
So we'll each pick one that we think is our worst. Let's not even talk about it. And it'll be funny if we had some of the same ones. So we'll talk about that in the chat, and we'll see how it goes. But
all right.
That sounds like a good topic. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, on that note,
looking forward to the homework. Thanks a lot,
Jack. Yeah. Summer vacation, damn it.
And as Vince McMahon would say, he's fired himself.
I'm fired.
Yeah, that's what. That would have been so great if he tweeted that out. I'm fired. Me and Bill will definitely get into that when we do our our wrestling podcast.
We'll have to figure out when to do it.
The next episode is Sting 1990 to 94. So that should be an interesting show. And I was thinking that maybe we could do it next weekend so we can do a little SummerSlam preview as well.
Absolutely. SummerSlam is next week.
I believe it's on a Saturday night, right? Yes. So why don't we set it up for Saturday in the morning or
afternoon. I will be ready.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Yep. Thanks again to everybody listening and watching. Please like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share the show.
Mm-hmm.
And and leave comments on the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything you'd like us to discuss, we're open to that too as well.
Yes.
So.
What you mean? I got a new hat I'll be wearing next episode.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. All right, everyone, have a good week. We'll talk to you next time.